KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM presents Candidate Forum 2024. Your questions are welcome, 342-5863, 342-KVOE. Candidate Forum is brought to you by Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area since 1984. And by ESP Financial. Come celebrate on July 27th at the Emporia Farmers Market Homegrown Celebration and ESP's 19th Annual Watermelon Contest. And now, today's Candidate Forum.
Good morning and welcome to Candidate Forum on KVOE and KVOE.com. Chuck Samples, your host here today. As we get ready for the second of five candidate forums that we have slated here during the primary election cycle. Don't forget that the primary election is coming up August 6th. And we're pleased to have with us here today the Republicans hoping for the Kansas Senate 17th district position. We have Mike Argabright and David Schneider joining us in studio here today for our questions and yours. Mike, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Chuck. I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you in. David, good morning. Thanks for making the drive. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you, Chuck, for having this forum. This is great.
Well, we really appreciate you guys' time here today. We know that your schedules are extremely busy, especially this time of year, so we're glad that you guys could carve out about an hour to spend with us to give your thoughts and perspectives on the issues that we do have in play here. Want to do some formatic things like we typically do at the start of the candidate forum, and basically it's going to be as it's been for years now. Both candidates will have an opening statement and a closing statement. We do have a number of questions here that have been developed by the KVOE News Department, and we know that you guys have questions as well. Now we will go over as best we can here to the text and the phone conversations that we do have at least planned here for today. And the number, if you want to call in your question or concern or to text, is the same. It's the different sponsors. It's Sutherland's phone line at 620-342-5863. It's the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, again, at the same number, 620-342-5863. We'll start working those requests and concerns in coming up around 10:30 or later, so the back half of the program here today. Also, as has been the case, we will be rotating the questions here so that there's basically hopefully equal representation so that you can hear everybody's responses and not one candidate is answering that first round more than anybody else is. With that in play, we've had basically by choosing by last name, we've decided that Mike will go ahead and have the opening statement first. So he'll have the first word, and then David will have the last word with the closing comments here as we wrap things up around 11 o'clock this morning. So with that all in mind, we will now get started with our candidate forum. And Mike, again, good morning. I guess the question comes up, what has you running, and what background and experience would you bring to the table if you're elected?
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Why am I running? I had some good people twist my ear and that I highly respect, and to get involved more in the politics, it definitely was not on my radar, but I appreciated and that encouragement and thought if I can get elected, I would love to serve this area, and so that's the why. Background about myself, I grew up on a farm in Atwood. We have several generations operating that farm. My brother and two of his boys currently operate that farm. My dad was a veteran and obviously a farmer rancher and a crop duster. My mother was a registered nurse, and two of my sisters are nurses. My parents always instilled in me and the others that we need good schools and good hospitals, and came from a very conservative background. From high school, I traveled to Dodge City for junior college and then on to Wichita State, chasing sports. And I met my wife in Wichita after we were married. Went back to Atwood and the farm for a couple years and coached, and she taught. From there, we landed in Eureka. That was in 1990, and started a family, and we both taught, and I coached, and worked through the administrative ranks at Eureka School District. We had three children. We have three children. Our oldest is a teacher. Our middle child does electrical design at an architectural firm. He started in Votech here and ended in Pittsburgh on a two-year degree and does very well. And then our youngest has an animal science degree from K-State and is working in research on vaccines and animal science in the Kansas City area. And we have one new granddaughter, so that's I don't think it gets better than that, but we've really enjoyed that. She's about a month old right now. We moved to Southern Lyon County about 18 years ago, and I started as a superintendent of schools in Southern Lyon County, and I was there 17 years. I retired a year ago, just about a year ago right now. I had a wonderful experience there and worked with a lot of great people. And my wife teaches Title Math in Madison, so we've lived in the Flint Hills for 35 years. This is home to us, and we appreciate all the people that we've gotten to know and work with over the years, and it is home to us. Some of my background as far as involvement over the years in this area, I am a lifelong Republican. I'm a lifelong Farm Bureau member. I was United Way chair just a few years ago, and which covered eight counties, and two of those counties are in the district, Lyon and Morris, that I'm running for. I've been a part of SOS Strong, Newman Hospital Advisory Board, and also the chairman. I was part of when the new emergency room was built, and what a wonderful facility that is for our greater community. Been a Gen X delegate for quite a few years. That's beef and dairy, and it's actually an international cooperative that's helped with some other areas, even in the schooling part when I was a part of that. Emporia Chamber of Commerce and Ignite Emporia, part of that efforts early on. I've been one of the pioneers in school districts that brought in early childhood daycare, 0 to 5, and very proud of that, and that those daycare centers still continue. I've been very involved in veterans. We started a honor flight program that we've had 13 successful missions to D.C., and that's been a very special program for students and veterans. Conducted an AI program just a few years ago, which involved 13 FFA chapters and area farmers and ranchers. Been involved in Emporia State on an advisory board, Wichita State on sports administration, Leadership Emporia, 27th class, and we're members of Friends of the Zoo. And so we like to be a part of the community. We have been a part of the community. Campaign topics that I am very interested in are lowering our property taxes for senior citizens and disabled veterans, supporting our public schools. I'm very much pro-business. I'm concerned about fentanyl and human trafficking. If you haven't been affected by that, you will at some point, and how we can work with law enforcement to get those situations under a little better control. And I'm very interested in first responders, our military, and our veterans, and supporting those efforts because our communities all need those.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks again. Appreciate Thank it. You. David, it's your turn. Again, good morning. What has you running for the office? And talk about your background experience.
I appreciate you again having this forum. It's important to get to know the candidates, certainly, and this is a perfect environment to do that. Well, I certainly wasn't handpicked to run for this particular position, and I certainly never thought I would be running. My involvement in the grassroots, specifically with the Organization Convention of States, had me networked with quite a few folks in Lyon County that basically were begging me to jump into the race. Now that I live in the 17th District, which incorporates Gary County, where I live. They were excited in the fact that they had an option to vote for a conservative this time around, and certainly wasn't anointed as a successor to anybody. I've always been an outsider, and I'm a business owner currently, run an insurance inspection business out of Milford, Kansas. And it gets me out in the community quite often, specifically with all the hail claims and various other weather events we have in the Flint Hills quite often. Mm-hmm. I've lived most of my life in the Flint Hills. I grew up in Arkansas City at the southern Flint Hills near the Oklahoma border. My parents still live there, and I take care of them, trying to keep them in their own home, which is a very, very dear thing to me for seniors out there struggling with the taxes, the property taxes. That's something I want to champion when I get to the Senate, is putting a cap on senior property taxes, as well as for disabled veterans, which is a huge thing where I am from IP and Fort Riley, where my wife works as a social worker and works with daily with on Fort Riley. From Arc City, I went to Fort Hays State University on a college scholarship wrestling, and was recruited out of there in the banking industry. Spent 18 years in the banking industry, working my way up in corporate banking. Was a business banker. I was always been an entrepreneur at heart. Never worked for the government a day in my life, and I've got that entrepreneurial spirit. My dad and mom instilled that in me. My dad was involved in the GOP down in Cali County, and I was walking for candidates at a very young age. So I've been doing this for a long time for a lot of other folks, but certainly the first time for me. Rural property tax and rural development, small town revitalization, there's some of the things I am very much in favor of, as well as first responders and child protective services, because that hits dear, hits home, specifically with my wife working the CPS mission at Fort Riley. I worked with Convention States, which I mentioned earlier before, and that organization is a nonprofit. Last decade, I spent traveling the country working for that organization, specifically trying to get term limits on Congress, as well as a balanced budget amendment passed through the state legislatures. And what most people don't understand is the state legislature has a lot of power, and they just choose not to use it. And what they need is a voice in the legislature, specifically in Kansas, to be able to understand that and to be able to partner with other states in the region. I have that experience, and that's what I'm looking to go to Topeka to use. I'm very familiar with the Emporia area as well. I've had two kids graduate from Emporia State University. Both of those children are working in Kansas school districts right now. One's as a teacher and is also married to another teacher who went to Emporia State. And the other one is a school psychologist up in Manhattan. She's got her master's degree right here from Emporia. So I spent a lot of time in Emporia, paid a lot of tuition, and I'm glad to be here again today.
Okay. Well, let's get into our questions now as far as the different topics are concerned. And question number one, looking ahead to the 2025 legislative session, if you guys are elected, what you believe the state's budget priorities should be? Obviously, the budget as a whole is going to be the major priority. But what do you see here as maybe the top three or four budget priorities? And David, I'll start with you.
I think I've already touched on a couple of those, but certainly returning the $3 billion in taxpayer surplus that exists in Topeka. Anytime when you have that kind of surplus, we know there's an imbalance in taxing. And right now, we know that we're taxed too much. And one thing I will absolutely always be is to ensure we have the waste, fraud, and abuse that exists in all levels of government is rooted out. I'll always be looking for the best solutions to ensure that the taxpayers' money is utilized in an effective way. I will bring that business mindset into that equation and certainly be looking at ways to return that surplus back home. Specifically, in some of the things I talked about, the senior property taxes right now need to be capped. Right now, we are taxing our seniors out of their homes. I see it every day when I'm at people's doors. They're talking about it nonstop. The values in their properties continually go up, but they're on a fixed income. People are hurting out there. There's a lot of grocery bills that continually go up. The last thing we needed to be doing is discouraging seniors from staying in Kansas. We should be rewarding our retirees with those property tax caps at least. And so that's going to be a huge priority, as well as the service-related disabled vets property tax. I think that was a big missed opportunity in the budget. I know they had talked about it. They even had it in prior versions, but it didn't make the final cut. That's something I absolutely will be championing when I get to there. And certainly rural property rights as well is a huge thing for me. We have an ever-encroaching federal government that's having more and more say over what you and I can do with our property through various agreements and various other things. There's no reason that the federal government and the alphabet soup agencies need to be involved with we the people. The state's supposed to be there as the buffer between the individual and the federal government, but thus far, it doesn't seem to be living up to that end of the equation. So I'll be that voice for the rural property owners.
Okay. Mike, you've already mentioned property taxes as a focal point for you. What do you also see as maybe other budget priorities here if you're elected?
Well, along with property tax, our small businesses are hurting, and not just in rural areas, but all over Kansas. So how can we what solutions can we and options can we come up to support our small businesses. I don't have all the solutions, but I will work hard for solutions and options with the colleagues to try to get some relief to our small businesses. My top three are property tax, growing jobs in the Kansas economy, back to small business again, but making sure that the population drain in rural Kansas is real, and it has been real, and downtown businesses are struggling. So how can we help and support those people and grow our workforce at the same time? Working with K-12 at the back end, with internships and apprenticeships and supporting their efforts and tying them to small business and industry is a good channel for our workforce. I've been a part of some of that with Ignite Emporia, and it's been very positive. And so from a statewide version, how can we grow that? My third area is supporting public schools and making sure that we are focused on core in school districts. Everything gets kind of put upon our teachers, our administrators, and how are they supposed to fix it? And our focus needs to be on the core academics. And in the upper grades, we start zeroing in on workforce and what those kids are interested in, but really zero in on the core and support our public education.
Okay. This will be our next question before we take the break. Property tax policy, really tax policy in general, was a major focus for the legislature this session. There was a package that finally did get Governor Kelly's approval, but it took a special session to do that. Question here is for you, was the state's decision on tax policy, from your perspective, the best that lawmakers and the governor could come up with given the circumstances? Did it go too far, especially given there have been concerns that have been stated, I think, throughout Topeka about declining revenues, specifically the next 4 to 5 years? Or did it maybe not go far enough given the ending balances that the state's accumulated the last 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, Chuck. So what I would say is, first of all, I applaud our legislative efforts over the last 2 years to finally get some relief moving. So we definitely made a great step in the right direction, and we have some things to build upon. And with that, you know, when the context of those tax relief packages come out, there'll be some things that probably need to be touched up on and built upon. Within especially the areas of our senior citizens, in my opinion, and the disabled veterans. Eliminating income tax on Social Security was big. I thank them for that. Raising the standard deduction will help our lower income people. I applaud our legislative colleagues on that. A little disappointed on the tax property tax relief, but at least we have a stepping stone to build upon.
David, what are your thoughts here on that?
You know, I'm going to agree with Mike on this subject matter. I think he hit it pretty hard as far as what the missed opportunities were, and certainly something we need to focus on in the coming session. I think where maybe we differ just a little bit is I'm not going to applaud the legislature and the fact that they were able to get something done, but they should have got more with a supermajority of Republicans that exist in that building. And this is where my experience really plays into the equation. They should have got more done. And that's I'm not going to point who and where, but the fact is we do have a supermajority there, but they don't act like a supermajority there. What we need is leadership to bring those folks together and to ensure that we get the $3 billion back to the citizens of Kansas. We shouldn't allow the governor to dictate where and how and when the supermajority exists and can override those vetoes at any particular time. We had 3 vetoes earlier this year. We should have been to a single rate, in my opinion, and we should have held pretty tight to that. There's other ways we could have done better, and I think we need some more leadership on that front, and I'm ready to provide that when I get to Topeka.
Really quickly, what do you think maybe some of those other areas that could have maybe gotten more money back in individual taxpayers' hands?
I think Mike hit the points where we missed early on, certainly with senior property tax. That was an earlier form of the version, as well as the service-related veterans tax relief. We certainly could have hit those. Again, we were at a single rate, and there was we ended up at a dual rate. So I think we need to have more of a flat tax in Kansas. It's proven in across the nation that the states with a flat tax rate have better outcomes, and we can encourage businesses to relocate here. We can encourage folks to relocate to Kansas and keep our youth in Kansas. Right now, we tax our citizens from every which way, and we need to find ways to ensure that we don't continue that path. We certainly have one of the highest tax rates in the region, and we need to continue to look at ways to make the life more livable here in the state of Kansas.
It's 1027 on KVOE on KVOE.com. This is our candidate forum involving Kansas Senate 17th District candidates. You've just heard from David Schneider. You've also heard from Mike Argerbright. We will take our first break here on the program. Very shortly, we'll start getting to your questions as well. Again, that's through the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line / Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line at 620-342-5863. Our sponsors here for Canada Forum today are ESB Financial and Geotech.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's candidate forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
10:30 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia, KVOE.com. As we continue our candidate forum, Kansas Senate 17th District candidates Mike Argerbright and David Schneider on the Republican side joining us here to give their perspectives on the different issues at play that we see and also that you see. And here as we get to the bottom of the hour, we're going to shift over to education funding, which always seems to be a discussion point, usually a lot of discussion as to how things should play out here. And David, I'll start with you on this. Whether for K-12 or higher education, do you see the state is on the right track with its overall amounts? Obviously, that means whether you think maybe if there's more that should be added or less, but also how the state should handle maybe special education funding and then private K-12 school funding opportunities.
You know, I will applaud the legislature for fully funding education over the last few years. I know that was a bit of contention for several years, and I think they finally have figured out a good, decent budget as far as education. There are still some issues with it. I believe over the last 10 years, we've devoted too much of our funding towards administrators and less to teachers. We need more teachers, and we need to pay them more. They're underappreciated and overworked. We certainly got to figure out that student-to-teacher ratio and ensure that those teachers are making a good wage. They're, like I said, they're underappreciated and underpaid. We need to continually look at that. Again, education levels was about right, but I think that we need to take a hard look at how much is actually going to the administrators in the districts. It seems like that's been the biggest growth over the last 10 years as far as the salaries. I know it's a very big education that those individuals have to go get their doctorate and have to pay off a lot of student loans, but we need to really look at how much is being devoted to that. As far as special education, I think we're, again, right on the right track. We could do better. Those kids that are on IEPs, we need to really take a hard look at the formula as far as how much more we can provide for those educational items in each of the districts. But again, I really do appreciate the legislature fully funding education over the last few years.
Okay. How about, private school funding? Because I know this has been a discussion point for years. It always seems to reach a lot of, there's a lot of concerns about how much private schools, if any, funding that they should wind up getting versus what the public schools are. What's your thought on that?
Well, I'm very much for school choice, but I'm not necessarily for school funding, public funding towards private institutions. We do need to encourage more free market type enterprises entering into the school arena, but I'm very much leery of providing government funds for private operations, including private schools. School choice does need to be something that we explore. The money should travel with the kids, but I'm a little hesitant to include the private schools in that equation.
Understood. Mike, from your perspective, the direction of funding here for K-12, do you see that as where it needs to be or trending in the right direction? And what are your thoughts here on special ed and private school funding for the state budget?
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I do support the K-12 funding. I do think we're on the right track. I do believe in the CPI gauge to add money every year, because the cost of living for all of us increases every year, and it does for schools too. That's a business, and so they have to incorporate that, and that's the only way we're going to get our teachers' salaries and our just our employee salaries increased is if we have a little bit of an increase based on the CPI index each year. I do support early childhood daycare efforts. That's what communities are needing and they're lacking. And so whatever efforts we can do to help that or incentivize that, I think is a positive. Reducing administrators, that's okay if it's not dumped on teachers, because they've had enough dumped on them. Mm-hmm. And there's so much government requirements in public schools. Someone has to do that. And so if we're going to minimize that, then we need to reduce the requirements of schools and what we're asking of them, because they are a fix-all environment right now, and they do a wonderful job with what they're handed. So special ed funding, yes, that needs to be funded. Those kids have special needs, and they're all different, require special care. Educational efforts requires more people to take care of those, and every kid deserves a chance. And if we want them in the workforce, every child deserves that, and special ed funding is needed so that we can get there, because those kids are challenged. So how do we minimize some challenges and try to get them to a certain point? Public and private education, I'm a supporter of public education. If I enter into the conversation of private education and money going into private education, I would enter that if they do the same requirements that public education has to do. They have to follow the same protocols. I would enter into that conversation, but I'm not a proponent of taking public dollars into private sectors. I think that's the wrong direction to go.
Okay. A text question does come in from one of our listeners, and we appreciate the text questions that are starting to come in. And, Mike, you get to start us on this conversation. Your thoughts on teachers carrying firearms in schools and a position on pornography in school libraries?
Well, I think there is every year there's a good effort, a great effort on minimizing pornography anywhere. But in the public schools, we have different requirements to make sure we have layers of filtering and making sure they work. Now, there's a lot of creative minds out there on how to get around that. And when True. You challenge a teenager, they're going to find a way to get around those kind of things. So we have to stay on top of that. But And we should, and we need to, and that should be a priority. If that's a concern in any area, that should be taken right to those administrators and that school district and get on top of that so that we don't have a problem there. The first part of that question was?
Firearms for teachers.
Well, first of all, a lot of teachers are not comfortable carrying firearms. That they don't go to work thinking that frame of mind. There are some teachers that would probably say, okay, I can do that. But requiring teachers to do that, I'm not in favor of that because that's not their comfort zone. That's for law enforcement. And if that's a concern, then to me, those school districts need to talk about hiring a school resource officer and having someone in there that is trained and okay to pull a gun on somebody. Most teachers are not.
Okay. David, what are your thoughts there on that? Firearms for teachers in a either classroom setting or in schools in general, and then concerns about pornography, specifically in school libraries.
Well, on that first subject, firearms in teachers, I think if we have a qualified teacher that wants to do it, they should be allowed to do it. There should be a program to be able to. Right now, they can't. State says it's a gun-free zone, and nobody's allowed to carry a gun other than maybe a police officer or somebody designated as such. I think there should be a way that qualified, trained individuals that are teachers should be allowed to protect themselves. The Second Amendment should not be infringed on that. And that we should do everything impossible to allow people to protect themselves. And certainly anybody that's qualified and able to carry should be able to. Pornography in schools, it's just, I mean, we live in Kansas. We live in rural Kansas, primarily in the Flint Hills here. And we need to represent the values of our communities. And certainly pornography is not one of those things that should be allowed in schools. And I think Mike has some experience in dealing with maybe some of these things at the school district. You know, if there is a problem, you need to talk to your local resources, specifically your administrators, and make sure it gets taken out and be aware of what is in there. And the only way we do that is have open dialogue with our children so they can, you know, tell us those particular things. Sometimes what we're finding is things are sneaking in, right? We're having folks that maybe have an agenda that want to bring those things into the school. And our kids are our best resources for allowing us to understand and what's going on in those particular environments. So listening, having those avenues to be able to address some of those things is certainly something we need to combat at all times.
Okay. We do have a phone call, so we'll go to that here through the Sutherland's Home Improvements. No phone call? Okay. Look like we had a phone call, but we don't. Okay. So we'll go take our second break here on the program. We are opening up to the phone line and the text line effective now, 620-342-5863. We do have questions that are teed up about Medicaid expansion and other items here as well. But again, phone calls and texts are welcome now, 620-342-5863. Canada Forum, Kansas Senate 17th District with David Schneider and Mike Argerbright, our guests, brought to you by Geotech and ESB Financial.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM. Live and local.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
KVOE News Time, 10:42. Our candidate forum continues here on KVOE and KVOE.com. And we are getting more text questions coming in here, including a couple that resemble a question that we already had on the books right now for us through the KVOE News Department. So, David, I'll start with you on the first question, which is going to lead into our second one, and that is whether you consider yourself pro-life. Also, what changes, if any, you would like to see for the state's abortion laws? So we'll start you with that one.
And I do consider myself pro-life. Actually, I'm endorsed by Kansans for Life. I've got a long history of supporting pro-life issues here in the state of Kansas. Absolutely believe in the sanctity of life. It's something that we must stand up for those that can't speak for themselves, and certainly the unborn are those type of individuals. And I do believe they are individuals, just not yet born.
Okay. Would you any changes that you would like to see to current abortion
laws? Well, currently, the Supreme Court here in the state of Kansas has miraculously found a right to an abortion in the Kansas Constitution. And obviously, we tried to address some of that with an amendment to the Kansas Constitution that failed. And I think there's still some things that the legislature can do to limit the state that we're in right now is we're kind of like a vacation destination for abortions across the Midwest, and that needs to be addressed. Abortions in the third trimester is just about everybody believes that should be something that we avoid. And there are some limitations that we can kind of look at doing. I respect the Supreme Court and its ability to make set precedents, but we need to, as a legislature, push back. We don't do that enough in the legislative process. The legislature should have still some oversight on some of these issues, and this is just a prime example of where some of those things can be pushed back.
Okay. Mike, your response, would you consider yourself pro-life, and where would you prefer to see any abortion laws changed, if you have any? Thoughts on that?
Thank you, Chuck. I grew up in a First Christian church, and we've raised our kids in a Catholic church, and we currently attend a Catholic church, my wife and I. I do consider myself pro-life, with the exceptions of rape, incest, and the health and the life of the mother. The Supreme Court did just strike down two legislative areas, and I don't believe that was even close with the findings.
5-1, I think, was the ruling on that.
And the constitutional amendment was defeated by the people across the state. I just do not see any new legislation coming forward in that arena. I think those areas have spoken, I don't see any future in the legislation right now.
Corollary question, really quickly, and I know our phone bank's starting to fill up, but a question came in first was if the value of the Both Amendment, which was turned down by voters last year, were on the ballot this election cycle, what would your position be and reasons behind that? Mike, I'll start with you.
If the same
legislation from last year, value of them both, was on this year's ballot, what position would you take on that specific legislation?
Yeah, I would not support that because I won't get in the way of a mother and her doctor and speaking out with – I think that's their business in doing that.
Okay. David, how about you?
Yeah, I would support it. I would have probably worked on the wording of that particular legislation. It was poorly worded, in my opinion. But absolutely, I voted for it, and I would support it if it was on the ballot this time.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. Let's go to the phones now. KVOE News Time is 10:45 as we continue our Senate 17th District Candidate Forum here. Good morning. You're on KVOE's Candidate Forum with Mike Argerbright and David Schneider.
Am I with you, Chuck?
You sir are. Good morning.
Hey, great. That's kind of what I want. I just want to know,
Hold on, you're breaking up pretty significantly. We're getting a couple of words in, and then you're disappearing. So,
are we doing better now?
Yeah, try that.
Okay, I just want a yes or no answer from these guys. They pretty well covered everything. No opinions, nothing else. Will they honor the state constitution and leave abortion alone?
Well, I think we've already had that answered, but I guess David.
I just want a yes or no. I don't want a big explanation.
Understood. David, I'll ask.
I don't believe the state constitution talks about abortion, and so I don't think I need to change anything in the constitution.
Mike, how about you?
I agree. I think I answered that already.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Well, thank you for your question.
They're saying they'll leave it alone.
That's exactly what you heard.
Okay. Thank you much.
All right. Thank you. Let's continue here on the candidate forum and the studio line questions. Good morning. You're on candidate forum.
Yes. I was wondering their opinions of Donald Trump.
I'm trying to remember here. I think, Mike, you're on the start for – no, actually, David, you're on the start for that. Opinions on Donald Trump.
Yeah, I've been public in my support for Donald Trump and his reelection. Obviously, there's a lot of negativity that's out there, but, you know, I've supported him in the last couple of elections. I'm certainly supporting him in this one.
Okay. Mike, what is your opinion of Donald Trump?
Well, my honest answer is I don't think we have good choices on either side of the issue, but I am a Republican, and when that time comes, right now I'm focusing on my own race, to be very honest. So when that time comes, I'll make that decision.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. It is 10:47 on KVUE as our candidate forum continues. We will take our final break here on the candidate forum, and we will double-check the text line, the phone line, get closing comments here in just a little bit as we continue here today with David Schneider and Mike Argerbright in studio. Candidate forum, as always, brought to you by Geotech and ESB Financial.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia in Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's candidate forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
KVOE's candidate forums. KVOE, live and local.
10:50 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com as we continue and get to our final segment here of the Kansas Senate 17th District Candidate Forum involving Mike Argerbright and David Schneider. We still have a couple of questions here that are coming in. So a question comes up here via the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line here as we close down things here today. It's whether law can be changed so that unclaimed property and specifically immediate family members can claim that. Mike, I'll get to start with you on that.
Well, I'm not overly familiar with this. I did have this topic with my passing of my mother, and so I know how to find that information, and it is available. But you do have to claim it, and you have to go through that process. And sometimes it's a lengthy process with death certificates and sometimes multiple death certificates and some items that you have to collect. So I'm not sure what the question is, if it's
I cannot say with any familiarity about, you know, the current process on that. So I don't have anything that I can give you that would help clarify that for you.
I know there is a process for unclaimed property because I've actually been through some of that. So I appreciate that, but I don't know how well that information is out there. So maybe communicating that information from a state level might be part of the concern here. I'm not sure. And maybe there's a need to better that communication.
Understood. David, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, my experience as a banker, I saw this unfortunately too often, and the probate process in the state of Kansas is a little lengthy, and I appreciate Mike having to go through that and understanding some of it, but there are a lot of folks out there that don't have the resources. We can do better at the state level to kind of push those information out and actually streamlining the process of probate for immediate family members to claim that information. There's a lot of things like that in government. It takes too long to do just about everything. everything. And as a business owner, I have to go out and get permits and various other things. And if you don't know the right person to call or the legislator that will help you in those type of scenarios, it gets frustrating really quick. And that's something I've been able to do in my local community and be that voice to be able to connect folks to the right areas.
Okay. We do have one more text question that's come across the text line here. So, and David, you'll answer this one first. Do you support the Supreme Court ruling for protection from deportation for DACA students?
Well, again, I haven't put a lot of thought on that. It's a national issue, and certainly not something I would be working with at the state legislative. I'm unfamiliar necessarily with that particular court decision. Can you repeat the?
Yeah, the question was whether you support the Supreme Court ruling for protection from deportation for DACA students.
I think everybody's entitled to due process. That's in the Constitution, to ensure that everybody's given a day in court and various procedures. But ultimately, we do need to address illegal immigration, and certainly something that needs to be stemmed. We need to do better at the state level as well as supporting our neighbor states that are fighting the battle, like Texas and Arizona, that are actually having some that need help, need support from their neighboring states. Again, that's that partnership stuff that we can do as a state. Right now, we don't have a governor that's offering any of that particular help, and there's some things that the state legislature can do as well. But that's how we can help as a state, not really diving into your question there necessarily, but there's not a whole lot I could do at the state level.
Understood. Mike, what are your thoughts there on that particular question?
Well, it is a federal issue. So it's to me, it's more about as a state working with other states to solve the issue when it hits us in that fashion. But it really is a federal issue, and the border is a problem. So we're talking about stemming from that. The background of this question is stemming from that, and that does need to be addressed. And same thing from a state level. We need to stand behind doing a better job at the border with what's going on right now.
Okay. I'm going to sneak in a question from the KVOE news list here before we wrap things up, and this is going to the longstanding debate at the state level on Medicaid expansion. Mike, you'll get to start us on this. Should the state pass – first off, do you support Medicaid expansion? And second off, should the state consider passing expansion to unlock federal funding in play with the option of maybe rescinding that policy if things don't go as planned?
Yeah, Chuck. So the answer is yes, I do support Medicaid expansion. And my experience in this district is that's an overwhelming support within this district of Medicaid expansion. And our hospitals, I think, will testify to that, Junction City and here in Emporia and in Council Grove. Being a part of a hospital board, I have got to see the firsthand effects of uncompensated care. And that feeds into some of this issue. And a lot of the public, they don't see that. In other words, people that come in and need care, they get care. But it's not always compensated care. And those hospitals are dealing with that. And they probably always will and probably always should. So anything that we can do to offset and balance those revenues and flow through a hospital, because we need hospitals, I'm in favor of. I am also in favor of, and I've told that to a few people that I've met with in the last month, I would like to know what the disadvantage of that is, because I really don't hear much of the disadvantage, and I will listen to that. But I am in favor of Medicaid expansion at this point right now. I am. And that's why I've seen it at the hospital level.
Okay. David, what are your thoughts here? Do you support Medicaid expansion? And regardless of your support or concerns or criticism of it, should the state maybe pass expansion to unlock the federal funding in play with the option of revising that or rescinding that if things don't go as has been stated?
I'm glad you asked this particular question because this is a difference in opinion, and I'm against expansion of Medicaid. And specifically, I'm against expanding socialism in general, and this is a socialism government-first type mentality that difference. I have not worked in the government. I don't look for government as a solution to this, and I'm certainly don't think that adding able-bodied workers to the roles of the folks that are eligible basically, you're letting the big corporations off the hook and providing that medical insurance right now. If, in fact, we expand it, those folks aren't going to have to, as they have to right now, provide medical insurance. And certainly, I look at it as a government handout to those big corporations, and that's not something. I'm here for the people, and I'm not here for the corporations. So, not for, in general, expanding socialism.
Okay. Well, guys, this brings us to our closing comments here today as we get to 1057 on KVUE and KVUE.com. We want to say thank you to those who have chimed in with your questions or concerns either by phone or via text here today. And the closing statement is a basic question. It is, why should voters advance you to the general election in November? Mike, I'll start with you.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. First of all, I have the energy. I have the time. I will bring a positive and productive approach for all Kansans. I'm not a career politician. I don't plan to be. And I will bring fresh ideas and energy to Topeka. I've been a successful businessman. I grew up on a family farm, a multi-generation farm that survived the 80s and continued to grow. I have managed large budgets as a school superintendent. I know how to budget and run a business. I have my own cattle herd on a personal basis, and I run that. So from a business standpoint, I think it's important that people that go to Topeka know how to do a budget and know how to live within your means, and I will bring that to the table. I've been a part of advisory boards, both hospital, health insurance, with over 5,000 contracts. That oversees large budgets. I'm a team player. I will work with my colleagues up there. I will listen to our constituents. That's who's putting us up there first and foremost, and I'll learn from them. And when it's time to lead, I will lead. And I do have leadership skills that I will bring to the table, and that's working with people because it takes votes to move politics. And I have the ability to do that, and I look forward to those challenges because sometimes they are challenges. And I will be accessible to our district. This Senate position is about running and oversight of the business of Kansas, and sometimes other things come into that. But the business of Kansas should be the priority, and I will keep that the priority, and I will represent our constituents in Lyon, Morris, and Geary counties. I value rural Kansas. I will represent rural Kansas and the Flint Hills. I value our farmers, our ranchers, our educators, our small business people, our health professionals, our first responders, our veterans, our active military, and above all, our youth, and keeping our youth supported. Our youth and our seniors are my priorities when it comes to legislation, and we need to take care of those. I have been endorsed or supported by the Kansas Chamber, the Kansas Bankers Association, the Kansas Livestock Association, the Kansas Auto Dealers, the Kansas Medical Society, the Kansas State Council of Firefighters, the Kansas Association of Independent Agents, Insurance Agents, the Kansas Association of Contractors, the Kansas Hospital Association, the Kansas Realtors Association, and endorsed by Senator Longbine. I would appreciate your vote on August 6th. My name is Mike Argerbright. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us today, Mike. Appreciate it. David Schneider, your closing statement. Why should voters advance you to the general election in November?
I appreciate, again, having this discussion today. What people know me in Topeka as a fighter. I've been in that building for the last 10 years fighting for principles that are conservative values in the state of Kansas, more representative of rural Kansas, and certainly a voice for the Flint Hills that's been lacking over the last 15 years. That's why I'm in this particular race, is those folks feeling that we send folks to Topeka that don't really represent the values of the Flint Hills, and that's why I'm asking for your vote today. I am a business owner. I certainly know how to budget. I also understand small communities in Kansas. I work and operate in those communities every single day. I'm on roofs every single day in those communities talking to folks that have just been through the worst storms. But I'm a Kansas first mentality, bringing the legislative experience that I've amassed over the last 10 years and actually passing legislation. And I do have a deep understanding of what it takes to make that happen again and fight for those particular causes here in rural Kansas. I'm a conservative voice here in the Flint Hills, and I'm looking to bring that in particular to Topeka. You know, nothing makes more divergence in how we approach things than during the lockdown period, when I fought against the lockdowns and during the pandemic. I fought to keep Kansas open and starting a group of 13,000 Kansans that rallied in Topeka, while my opponent locked the doors of the school as well as master's students. So there certainly is a difference in mentality. I'm a fighter. I don't have all the fancy endorsements, but what I do have is the endorsement of we the people. And that's why I'm in this particular race, and I'm committed to going to Topeka to represent we the people.
David Schneider, Mike Argerbright, thank you again for joining us here today. Really appreciate your time with us this morning. Best of luck as your campaigns continue to move forward. We do want to remind folks that we do have a candidate forum Tuesday. That'll be the Lyon County Commission Republican candidates for the 2nd District Commission seat. Sid Morgan and Doug Peck will be joining us Tuesday, 10:06 here on KVOE. It's 11:03 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia, KVOE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
You've been listening to KVOE's Candidate Forum 2024. Today's forum has been brought to you by ESB Financial. Come celebrate July 27th at the Emporia Farmers Market Homegrown Celebration and ESB's 19th Annual Watermelon Contest. And by Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area since 1984. For complete primary election coverage, stay tuned to KVOE and logged on to KVOE.com.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.